This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys over on the DraftKings Network. And shout out to our audience on Samsung TV Plus, where you can see us here in high definition. Welcome to this week two of the NFL regular season. Michael, how are we doing this morning?
You know, you open every show, it's a great day to be a better, but Sundays are more greater, or that's bad English, but greater to be a better than any day of the week, I got to believe, right? I mean, is there a better time than Sunday? I mean, it's a great day to always be a better or to always give out advice. But Sunday, you know, Sunday's special. You know, Sunday's a special day with the NFL and the unpredictability of it all. But look, college football has been entertaining us, especially in Boulder, Femi.
100%. And we will get to the NFL and all that stuff, but we have to at least spend a few minutes talking about what we saw last night in Boulder, Colorado. The Colorado Buffaloes beat the Colorado State Rams 43-35 in double overtime. Colorado State covers the number. That was never in doubt. The game goes over the total. But how about that second half performance and the fourth quarter performance for the Colorado Buffaloes, who were down double digits? They come from behind. They force OT with a 98-yard touchdown drive. And then, of course, in the overtime, go ahead and get the victory. That was a close call there for the Buffs, but they remain unbeaten.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you need, you know, every team needs that, right? We're not shooting a Hollywood movie here. It's not going to beat everybody by 50. You need that for mental toughness. You know, you need that for your team to strengthen itself so that they have a sense of belief that they can come back and win the game, and credit Colorado for doing that, you know. And then they went for two and got it. And unfortunately, that crack block really affected the outcome of the game. I guess it's legal. I don't know. I've seen that crack block happen all the time, but you know, they kind of try to take that blindside block out of the game, which I understand why. But look, it was a great game. It's a great win for Colorado. It was a great performance by Colorado State in terms of dictating and playing the style. Now, this also gives your opponents, if you're Colorado, kind of a formula for what you have to do. And losing the receiver, I think, really becomes problematic for Colorado as they go into Eugene this week. I mean, that's going to be really challenging. But Sanders was great, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he threw for more yards on the last two drives than he did the entire game. And then he got into overtime. I mean, that's when you tell a great player. When it matters most, he plays well.
Yeah. And he showed what we've talked about all throughout our GM Shuffle podcast and through doing these shows. We talk about competitive stamina. He has it. Shedeur Sanders, he has the competitive stamina to go ahead and continue, because he was getting hit and he was hanging in the pocket and even had to go out on his legs and make some plays happen as well. So it was a hell of a performance there for Shedeur Sanders. His stat line, of course, was impeccable. 38 for 47, 348 yards, four touchdowns. Did throw the one interception early, but that was kind of, it bounced off of the receiver's hands and went into the arms of the defensive back there. So Colorado gets the victory, 43-35. I think Deion Sanders even said after the game, hey, we played like hot garbage in the first half, so we have a lot to correct, but it's good to get a win when you make mistakes there. So it says a lot about this Colorado team, and it says a lot about that rivalry, because you mentioned that it's not a Hollywood movie, but it looked kind of like a Hollywood movie, at least in the pregame. I mean, we had Lil Wayne, The Rock. I mean, Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. I mean, we don't even see Kawhi Leonard in NBA games, and Kawhi Leonard was on the field last night.
I mean, that was amazing, right? I mean, like, I don't, you know, Kawhi Leonard doesn't even go to his own games. I mean, like, he doesn't even go to Clippers games when he's out. Like, I mean, wow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for him to show up there, I mean, it is. Boulder has now become the center of the college football unit. Who would have thought it, right? Mork and Mindy. Do you remember that? You're too young to remember that show. But Robin Williams, his first kind of commercial break in television, the entertainer, unfortunately, who committed suicide, mm-hmm. and a great movie actor. There was a show called Mork and Mindy, and the beginning of the show, he was an alien. And so, but the beginning of the show, they filmed it on the field at Boulder. The show was based in Boulder. So, you know, that made Boulder kind of during the 70s, kind of a focal point. But now it's taken a whole new life on. It really has. Mork and Mindy. How about that? Deion outdoes Mork and Mindy.
How about it? Well, primetime, like you mentioned, will be heading to Autzen Stadium next Saturday. A lot of eyeballs will be on that one, 3:30 Eastern.
Tough ticket, I bet, to get that one. Ooh. I bet you got to know Phil Knight to get that ticket, I think. That's going to be a hard one.
I've covered many a game at Autzen Stadium. That place will be rocking, so I hope Colorado is ready for that one, because I think everyone now, especially now that they're getting into conference play, everyone's ready for Colorado. Like they are now the hunted, even though they don't have a national title, but they are the hunted in the Pac-12. Let's get to the NFL, though, because this is an NFL Sunday here. Week number two, and I can't wait, because this is sort of the overreaction week. Everybody gets all caught up on what happens in the results for week number one, and then we carry it over into week number two, and of course we're tend and bound to overreact. But here is the breakdown over at DraftKings on the most bet games by handle and by ticket count. By the handle, Jets at Cowboys is the number one bet game over at DraftKings. Chiefs at Chargers, number two. Raiders at the Bills at number three. Seahawks at the Lions, number four. And then 49ers at the Rams at number five. Just speaking of the handle, do any of those games surprise you being kind of the marquee games of the day in terms of betting?
No, but the one that surprises me, and I tweeted it out, and it's been this way. As you know, I monitor the splits all week in terms of percentage of cash. I could care less about the tickets, right? Mm-hmm. I want to know how much cash is being bet. Yeah, I'm a believer of low ticket, high cash. I like that formula. I'm not saying it's going to prove to be winners, but I like that formula. The Buffalo Raider game has been remarkable. For the entire week, Femi, it has bordered on, it has never gotten above 10% of the money in terms of all the offshore books, DraftKings, every book, right? Taking all these books in to account, and the money coming in on the Raiders has not gone over 10% the entire week, over 150,000 tickets written. And yet the number has gone from 9.5, and there's some sevens out there in the morning. I mean, it's kind of 7.5s. There's some 7.5s you could get. There's some 7. There's some 8. There's still some 8s hard to get. But that, to me, that's when I get a little worried. Do I think Buffalo wins the game? I think Buffalo needs to win the game. Do I think the Raiders are being undervalued? Yes, I do. I think the Raiders played well last week. Do I think the Raiders match up to Buffalo? I kind of do, because Buffalo isn't a team that's going to rely on their diversity within their portfolio of offensive defensive football. And Terrell Bernard, their starting middle linebacker, and Matt Milano are really small. I mean, they're small. They essentially line up in a dime defense, because Milano and Bernard are two safeties. You can call Milano a linebacker, but he says, if you were to take him and look him in a lineup, you'd say, oh, that kid plays safety. And Benford plays is as small as he is. So this is a matchup where the Raiders have to control the line of scrimmage, win the game there, and they've got to be able to not play from behind. That's going to be the key to this game, is not play from behind, because if they can stay attached to Buffalo, that means their run game's attached.
Yeah, and to your point, it's also one of the biggest line moves of the week. This opened Raiders plus 9.5, now down to plus 7.5, like you mentioned. So the line has been moving in favor of the Las Vegas
Raiders. With no money, though, Femi. With no money, right? What does that tell us as bettors? I mean, that's part of analyzing the market. Like, why is the book moving that number? Why? You know, it isn't because Mattress Mack put $2 million down on Buffalo. You know, it's like that's not the case. You know, or $2 million on the Raiders. You know, this line is everybody's betting Buffalo. So why is the line coming to the Raiders? You would think it would go to 10.
You would think so, but the handle, because the number one handle this week over at DraftKings is Chiefs laying 3.5. Number two is the Buffalo Bills laying 9. That kind of has bounced back in the face of those bettors who bet Buffalo minus 9. Niners as 7.5 point favorites is the number three most bet side. And then the number four most bet side, Cowboys minus 9. Number five is the Giants laying 4 in the desert against the Arizona Cardinals. So that Bills Raiders game, I think, is going to be of high interest for a lot of folks, not just from a betting standpoint. Of course, Survivor. We got the Survivor numbers yesterday. 41% of the Survivor pool is on the Buffalo Bills, and that's just to win outright. That's not to cover. That's just to win outright, which the market still believes the Bills have a strong chance to do. But whenever you see the market sort of going the other way against your Survivor pick, it's got to create a little bit of nerves, I would think, at least.
Yeah, apprehension. I mean, look, and Buffalo could come in there and play their best game offensively and not turn the ball over. We get all that. I mean, Buffalo should win the game. The reason they're a 9.5-point favorite they opened up is because they are a good team. But there's some cracks in Buffalo's armor. There's cracks in the Raiders' armor, too, not having Jacoby Myers on the field. That's going to affect them. But Buffalo's not as fast as they were on defense. Their safeties aren't as talented as they were. They've gotten older. Hyde and Poyer, they're older players, and they turn the ball over. And the fact that they don't have a power run game, you know, the Raiders will do a good job of doubling digs. One thing about Patrick Graham's defense, remember when they played the Chiefs last year in Kansas City? I mean, Kelsey had four catches for about 12 yards, but he had four touchdowns. They couldn't stop him in the red zone. Remember that game?
Yep, Monday Night Football.
They'll double digs. I mean, I'm sure they're going to double digs on almost every play and force the ball to go to Gabriel Davis, force the ball to go to somewhere to Dalton Kincaid, force it to go to Dawson Knox somewhere to try to see if Allen has the patience and the willingness to spread the ball around, which I'm sure they harped on all week.
You mentioned Jakobi Meyers out for this game in the concussion protocol for the Las Vegas Raiders. Some other notable players that have been reported to be out. The actives and inactives will be coming out in a little over an hour, but these are some guys that have been reported to be out already. And that is starting with the running back for the Los Angeles Chargers, Austin Ekeler. He's out dealing with an ankle injury. Marlon Humphrey, of course, injured in training camp. He is out for the Baltimore Ravens. Jamal Adams, we're still going to wait another week for his eventual return to the Seattle Seahawks there in the secondary. And then for the Green Bay Packers, not only just Christian Watson at wide receiver, but also Aaron Jones at running back for the Green Bay Packers as well. Frank Clark for the Broncos, he is out there, pass rusher. Eric Kendricks, linebacker for the Los Angeles Chargers, is out. And then Brandon Cooks for the Dallas Cowboys is expected to be out as well. But that Green Bay situation, we'll talk about that also as well throughout this show here. But that line is starting to move towards Falcons maybe being 3-point favorites in some spots. I'm seeing 2.5 juice, but the line definitely going against the Packers with those two key guys out.
Yeah, and I think the other game, when we come back off a break, we got to talk about is Houston and Indianapolis. That line moved to Houston. There was some doubt whether Stroud was going to play, but this morning we wake up and Tunsil is not going to play, the left tackle. So now this offensive line for Houston, to me, is a complete disaster, something to really discuss. I think that should shift the line back to Indianapolis, actually.
Yeah, the offensive line for the Houston Texans in absolute shambles. We'll break that down on the other side, as well as Dolphins at the Pats Sunday Night Football. We're just getting warmed up here on the Lombardi Line on DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter bettor year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, rolling along here on this week 2 Sunday in the National Football League regular season. And we were talking about this game during the break here. It's not one of the sexier games of the early slate, not a marquee game, because these are two teams that were picking pretty high in this past year's draft. However, it is an interesting game, though, from a betting standpoint, because the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans, right now Houston, a 1-point favorite over at DraftKings, total 39.5, I should say. But the Texans will be without four regular starters on the offensive line, most notably offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil, who was listed as questionable all throughout the day, not expected to play with a knee injury, didn't practice on Friday. Doesn't sound like Tunsil will be able to go this afternoon. Boy, that Texans O-line up front could be in a lot of trouble against the Colts defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the issue, right? And there was some hesitation on my part early when I saw that Stroud was out, that they may play Keenum, which would certainly give them somebody that they could run the offense and kind of do more than just what they need to do with Stroud. But now Stroud's going to play, but then Tunsil's out. So, you know, when you go play a team with the strength of the Colts is in their front, and that's going to be a challenge. Now, look, I think the one thing you have with the Houston Texans is they play hard. They play hard, and they're going to play hard for 45 minutes. But when you pound their front, when you kind of go after them a little bit, you know, they're going to wear down by the end of the game. And you've got to be able to protect the edges in the game. You've got to be able to wear them down so you can help out. And I think this is a big game for Richardson. I think this is a game where if he can run the ball, and like he's done so far last, you know, so far this year, his, you know, from college to preseason to the first game, his percentage of completion improved tremendously. So that's going to be the key. And if they can't protect in Houston, this could be a low-scoring game, but it also could be a game that the Colts, who are getting a point, could win. It flipped. This line kind of flipped a little bit. So it's really kind of important to me that they do that. Look, they play Jacksonville for 50 minutes as well as you could play Jacksonville. They held their own, but they gave it up in the fourth quarter, which is typically what bad teams do. And I think that's ultimately what's got to happen. I mean, they've got to. I mean, Houston averaged 3.7 yards per play last week.
Yeah, a couple of 50-minute teams that we have going on here between the Colts and the Texans. You mentioned the line flip, though, which is very notable because our producer, Elliot Bowman, just sent me this note. Before that flip, when Houston was a one-point favorite, or rather, yeah, when the Colts were a one-point favorite, Houston was going to be an underdog for a 25th straight game. They've been an underdog for 24 straight games. That is the longest streak in the NFL, 24 straight games as a dog. Today, though, they're a favorite when they have no offensive line. Like, what do you read into that? Like, is this just maybe the market's fading a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road? Do you think that's why Houston remains as the favorite?
I think so. Okay. I think it has to be, right? Plus, Indy doesn't have great skill players. Let's face it. I mean, how can Indy beat you? How can they make explosive plays? I mean, Indy last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, we know they're not a great secondary. They averaged 16% on third down. You know, they couldn't make any plays, and they had a hard time being able to run the football effectively. I mean, they actually last week with Anthony Richardson as a rookie playing home against Jacksonville, they threw it 62% of the time. They ran it 37. So their ratios were way off. I mean, I get why Houston's ratios were 68-31 to pass run, but they were playing from behind, you know, and they were playing from behind. They did a better job on third down against the Baltimore team, which I think leans us into the whole Cincinnati-Baltimore conversation later. So I really think this is a big game for Richardson. I mean, because it's not going to be a challenge scheme-wise. He's going to know where they are, and the Colts have got to handle him. Now, does Quentin Nelson play for the Colts? I know he was talked about being injured. It seems like he's trending towards playing. They're going to need him.
Yeah, no, that sounds like he'll play in this game as well. And we'll talk contest plays at the end of the show because I have my contest card. I sent it to Elliot and my Survivor play. But I'll tell you this, Michael. I was this close to actually playing the Houston Texans. I didn't play them for Survivor, but I was this close to rolling the dice and doing it, fading a rookie quarterback making his first start. Because it worked last week, fading Bryce Young and Frank Reich in their first road game together. I was close to doing it once again, but I didn't. Like, the O-line stuff scared me away. The market clearly has not been scared away to the point to where Houston will become an underdog. Right now, they're still sitting as the favorite, but that is an interesting game. I almost did it. I almost did it, but I didn't do it. I couldn't handle it. With the O-line, I was like, I'm a big trenches guy. The O-line was injured. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't play Houston. There's no chance I could play Houston. I watched the games during the week. There's no way I could. Look, I love Houston's effort.
Yeah,
I do. I love their effort. I respect their effort. I think, you know, that D'Amico's got a good thing going. Their players are playing hard. But they're, you know, at some point when you're not talented and you have injuries, you're not very good. You go from bad to worse.
41 entries on the Houston Texans in Survivor. God bless them.
I mean, that takes guts.
It does.
That takes real guts. I mean, it really does.
It was almost 42. Let's get to Sunday Night Football, though, over in Foxborough. The Miami Dolphins taking on the New England Patriots. Dolphins right now, 2.5-point favorites. The total sitting at 46.5. I think the weather should be all clear up there in the Foxborough. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a game where the market late in the week has had interest on New England.
Yeah, I mean, New England's, you know, look, this game, New England played well enough to beat Philadelphia last year, especially defensively. They hold Philly to their lowest output in 27 games. They put a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts. They were able to come inside. This game, the whole theme for this game, if you're a Patriot fan, is you cannot make this a 7-on-7 game. This is not about Tua being back there with no one around him and him throwing the dice and the ball up and down. You can't do that. You've got to be able to get in front of them, jam the receivers, disrupt some things. Last year, New England did a nice job against them down there in Miami in the opening game. They lost 20-10 because they turned the ball over once again. This has been a recurring theme for the New England Patriots over the last year. They have turned the ball over. They turned it over last week. At some point, Mac Jones is going to have to come in the game and play a clean game. Now, in fairness to Mac, they also have offensive line problems. Trent Brown didn't practice all week. He's in concussion protocol. The starting right guard, fourth round pick, he missed all week with a concussion from the Philadelphia game. How are they going to configure this offensive line? Will they start Tyrone Wheatley, a kid they traded for from the Cleveland Browns, Tyrone Wheatley's son? at left tackle. Talented young man, but can he play against a fairly good rush? Now, Jalen Phillips is on the injury report. He may not play tonight as well. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on here. But the one thing we saw last week, Vic Fangio wants to play cover two. He wants to play high safeties. He's going to let you run the football. Will he come down and play more of a cover three scheme? Because if New England can run the ball, if New England can keep the game where Mac Jones doesn't have to throw it over 30 times, they'll be in it in the fourth quarter. They will be in it in the fourth quarter. But if this becomes another 40-pass-plus game behind an offensive line that's struggling to get some continuity and consistency, that's going to be hard.
On the Miami Dolphins offensive line front, it sounds like Teron Armstead should be able to go in this game. I know he was able to make it at least limited through practice all throughout the week here. How about this nugget, though? Tua Tagovailoa is 4-0 outright and against the spread against the New England Patriots. For some reason, they haven't been able to beat Tua. Now, maybe if they can get some pressure, then they can go ahead and slow down that Dolphins attack. But so far, it's been no dice here for New England against Tua and the Dolphins.
Well, they've beaten them. I mean, and a lot of it was the Dolphins defense. I mean, last year in the opener it was the Dolphins defense that won the game. Now, the Dolphins defense has issues, right? I mean, last week, Xavien Howard, Dolphin fans know this. I don't think Patriots fans do. But, he got three pass interference penalties on him last week, three first downs allowed. You go after him, you're going to make some plays. He's been a liability for them. And you've got to throw the ball against Miami. That's the key. You can throw the ball on Miami if you can protect them up front, which you got to give the Chargers credit. Last week, Slater did a really good job. Pinkins did a good job at right tackle. They protected until the end of the game. And when Herbert, all of a sudden, he throws the ball away and it gets called for grounding and they had their opportunity. But look, the Fangio, Belichick battles have gone on. Each coach knows each other. Each coach knows how they want to do it. McDaniels understands kind of how they want to play them. The Shanahan offense has always given the New England offense some trouble. So they're going to have to win this game up front. This is a game the most physical team wins today. Mm-hmm. Who makes this a physical game? That's the mantra for New England. They've got to attack the pocket, and they've got to put pressure. I'm not saying they have to sack Tua, but they got to get in his face. If he has a circle around them tonight when you're watching the game, and he can step into every throw like a baseball pitcher, they will have a hard time winning the game.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, of course, being the most dangerous weapon on the field. Jaylen Waddle, he's been dealing with an adductor issue.
Those are hard to play with. I mean, those are hard. Look, one thing we do know, Belichick's going to make him play left-handed. He's averaged 12 yards a catch in the games against New England. They understand what they have to do to take him out. Now, it's hard to do. He's great. I mean, last year, even with Teddy Bridgewater, he almost made a great play down the sideline on 3rd and 15. But they were able to get, you know, he didn't get his other foot in bounds. That was key.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be the Brandon Staley defense that we see later on tonight against the Miami Dolphins and what they did last Sunday. We will continue to break down the Week 2 card on the other side. We'll get to another marquee game, Jets at the Cowboys at Jerry World next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best ever by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up for a VSiN annual subscription, and you'll also get a free copy of Michael Lombardi's new book, Football Done Right. Just use promo code Lombardi when you sign up. And if you would like an autographed copy of Michael's book, just email us at subscribe@VSiN.com. This is a limited time offer, so sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi on the road after a wedding last night. Big Daddy Vince is his son's wedding.
We had a great time.
Congratulations to Big Daddy Vince.
We had a great time, although I got to tell you, we couldn't get my man Dominic and little Mikey to come back to the wedding. They had to kind of stay back there. Dominic's actually asking his mother. He's watching the show in Vegas, and he's asking his mother what the money line is. I'm sure this is not good. This is going to get me in serious trouble. A 6 years old's wondering about the money line. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. But we missed them.
As long as he doesn't say that at school on Monday, I think we should be okay.
Yeah. Probably will say something. Yeah. He probably, you know, we call him John Nash. He's probably got some formula sitting there on his whiteboard that he's working on. So, and my man Mike's will help him out. So yeah, the money line. Can you imagine that? I mean, see what you've done to me now.
Shout out to Dominic, already asking what the money line is. We absolutely love that. Although just don't ask that at school. let's continue to move along though with the marquee games on Sunday. We will get to the Bengals and the Ravens. I think that's a really interesting game with some big implications in the AFC North. But how about the Jets at the Cowboys? Right now, Dallas is an 8.5-point home favorite. Totals at 38.5, of course. No Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson, the QB1 for Gangrene. And everybody's been asking, can the Jets keep this competitive? What do you think of this game and how this kind of plays out later on this afternoon?
Well, I think what, you know, we had Christopher Sims on yesterday on the show, and he talked about, you know, about what they have to do. And I agree. I mean, I don't think their season's at the end of the road. I think they still play good defense. I mean, we know the Cowboys are going to be without Brandon Cooks, which I think hurts them. And so that's an injury that I think affects them. The Jets are very good against the run game. We know the Cowboys want to run the football. I think it's going to be a close game. And I think it'll be that really we come down to, can the Jets offensive line protect on passing downs? Because a punt's a good play for the Jets in this game. You don't have to be, with the way your defense is, you're not going to be explosive. The more you extend Zach Wilson into the offense, the bigger the risk you take. So if you play it conservatively, if you avoid losing first before you win, you'll have a chance to get this game in the fourth quarter. And I really think the Jets will do that. Now, I worry bad offensive lines don't travel. And I know the strength of the Cowboys is their defensive front. So this game is going to come down to which line plays the best, right? Jets or Cowboys? Cowboys, they still don't have Tyler Smith back yet. That'll be an issue, right? And so I think that's going to be a concern. We don't know about Tyron Smith. He'll play, but how long does he play? You know, that's going to be the other issue. So I like this game to be a close come to the end game in the fourth quarter. That's why I think the Lions moving towards the Jet. The season's not over. Season's not over. Now, if Wilson comes out and plays really poorly and they get beat badly, then everybody in that locker room is going to become deflated. And they're all going to say, and then they're going to look for Joe Douglas to do something. And that's what the Jets have to avoid today by their play calling and by the way they coach this game. Because a disastrous game like he had last year will ruin their season. They've got to build confidence in the game.
I always think back to that game last year when the Jets were in New England. And like I don't think I'd seen a worse quarterback performance than that performance there with what Zach Wilson did. And when the Patriots won with the game-winning punt return, I think it was Marcus Jones that went ahead and ran that back for a game-winning TD. But yeah, I think like that's what's kind of the beginning of the end of Zach Wilson as a Jets quarterback. Now we fast forward to here to where he is QB1 for them. And it's important for the confidence of the entire team that he doesn't kind of screw this up. Like I think it's fine if they lose, but as long as he doesn't just play like horrendously, then I think like you mentioned, then the confidence will kind of get deflated. A concern, though, for the Dallas Cowboys, a couple of them, wide receiver Brandon Cooks, it doesn't sound like he's going to play in this game. In fact, I think that he's been expected to be out, is what the reporting says. He's dealing with a knee issue. But also Zach Martin, who popped up on the injury report on Friday with a groin issue. He will play, is what it sounds like. But anytime you hear about this groin issue when they're already down a guard and you have to deal with Quinnen Williams and that Jets interior, that could be tricky for Dallas.
Yeah, because you need lateral quickness in there, and your groin—that's where you move laterally, side to side. That's going to be the issue. They got to have that, right? And they can't make mistakes either. Because if you sit there and say, how do the Jets win? The Jets win because the Cowboys turn the ball over. That's how the Jets are going to win. The Jets can win if they turn the ball over. This is, to me, these two teams. I understand the difference in quarterbacking, but to me, I think the 9.5 down to 8. Has taken it too far. And the Jets have this great thing going for them. Nobody believes in us. Yeah. Nobody gives us a chance. You know, that's a really powerful motivating tool. And I think they'll carry that with them. I think they'll cover it. You know, it would not surprise me if the Jets pulled an upset. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all. No. I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, it's a top five defense. And anytime you have that kind of a defense, you're always going to be in games as long as you don't get turnovers.
Yeah, well, I think the other thing we missed too, the Jets changed kickers here. This is a little bit of an issue too. They put Zerline on injured reserve. They have a new kicker. That's something to me that always makes me hesitate a little bit about some of the game. We don't talk enough about the kickers, even though the game comes down to 3 points. And most of our bets are right there, unless Dominic were on the money line, come down right to those points.
Our money line man, Dominic.
What nickname on money line?
Yeah, just Dominic money line. Ravens at the Bengals. This could be a potential bounce back spot for Cincinnati. At least the line thinks so. Cincinnati 3-point favorites, 3 -120 is the consensus number. 45.5 is a total. And we're talking about, I was talking with Elliot and our guys behind the glass beforehand. And I said, this isn't a must win game, but this is as close to like a, you kind of got to have this one. If you're Cincinnati, you don't want to fall 0-2 in division.
Yeah, and look, they're probably going to add Melvin Gordon to the roster today because they're so beat up at running back with J.K. Dobbins to go along with Gus Bradley. But I think the real core issue and the problem for Baltimore and why people are fading Baltimore today is the injuries. I mean, look, Marlon Humphreys isn't going to play, right? He's out. He's still unhealthy. Then you've got Lindstrom, one of their best linemen. Ronnie Stanley not going to play. I mean, that's a tough environment to go into. And I truly believe, we talked about this earlier in the show, I mean, Houston, as bad as they are offensively, they were able to convert third downs at a high rate against Baltimore last week in Baltimore. Wasn't a lot of pass rush that was going to create problems. I think Burrow's game had a lot to do with weather. I don't think you can take last week and move it into this week. And Baltimore's weakness is their secondary. Baltimore's weakness is their inability to get pass rush. If they were healthy, but they're not even healthy now. So this is going to have to be Lamar doing some spectacular things offensively. And that Bengal defense is going to have to rise, especially if they don't have Stanley and they have to maneuver their line around and without Lindstrom. So that certainly plays into the strength of the Bengals. I expect Burrow to play better. I expect Lamar to play better. Burrow's getting all the attention for not playing well last week, but Lamar didn't play well. That Baltimore offense didn't look crisp last week.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because now this is Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator for the Bengals, going up against Todd Monk. And we knew, look, Anarumo obviously knew Greg Roman very well. They'd had many a battles. How do you think Monk and Anarumo sort of match up here in this game?
Well, I think it's hard for him to, you know, he doesn't really know what he has. I think he'll do a good job. He'll attack the protections. One of the things when college guys go to pro is the sophistication of the protections in the NFL are way different than they are in college. And I think he'll keep playing them the same way. Now, I think the other key injury we didn't discuss is Mark Andrews going to play today. That's key for Baltimore to get going offensively, right? That's key for Baltimore. They've got to be able to do that. So, I mean, last week, Deshaun Watson completed 55% of his passes, which wasn't great at all. But a lot of this, like when you look at the numbers in the game, you know, it's really hard to say they're going to improve because at the end of the day, the weather had such a great effect on that game. I think this, though, I mean, I think since he's going to have to run the ball more. Last week, there were 62-37 run pass run, I mean. And I don't think that's what you want to do, especially if you get him in nickel and you can use Mixon more in that role. So it'll be a big game. I mean, since he's got to bounce back, look, since he cannot lose at home and they cannot lose another North game or else they're going to be looking at a wild card.
It's like you pretty much, and we hate to sound that drastic, but it feels like it's sort of a drastic situation here.
Well, you got the tiebreakers, right? Yep. You got tiebreakers. You got, you know, I mean, look, we know the North's going to be competitive. I mean, Cleveland's got no walk in the park going over to Pittsburgh this week either. So, you know, that's going to be a tough game. But last week is last week. We got to put that out. I think Burrow plays better, but I also think Lamar plays better too.
Yeah. I think one thing that's been interesting in this AFC North here is that we know since he has always had trouble with Cleveland kind of is their bugaboo. You can sort of say the same here for Baltimore and Cincinnati, like where Baltimore has trouble with Cincinnati.
Well, they don't match up to him. Yeah. They don't match up because even if they have Humphrey and he's playing outside corner, they go after him. And so they don't have a secondary that matches up to these receivers for Cincinnati, assuming Burrow can throw the football effectively. That line for Cincinnati's got to play better than it did last week as well.
And once again, for the Baltimore Ravens, their secondary, they'll be out with down with Marcus Williams and Marlon Humphrey. Both those guys are out. And on the offensive line, it's Tyler Lindenbaum and then Ronnie Stanley. So cluster injuries on the O-line and the secondary doesn't spell well against the Bengals. We'll get to the Commanders and the Broncos coming up next, as well as Chiefs Jags here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? The DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEASAN to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEASAN. The crown is yours. We are humming along here on this week two Sunday of the NFL regular season. Michael Lombardi hanging out with us here on the road. Femi Bebefe sitting here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Michael, we have an interesting game in the Rocky Mountains. This one between the Washington Commanders and the Denver Broncos. Right now, the consensus number is Denver, 3.5 point favorites, total 38.5. Almost very similar to the line that we saw last week with Denver hosting Las Vegas. That game, the Broncos lost. This game, do you think the Broncos can go ahead and bounce back against the Commanders?
You know, this is one of the games I profiled on my Friday column because I think this is an interesting coordinator matchup. And you have to go back into 2021 when Sean Payton was still the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. He had Jameis Winston play quarterback. He faces Jack Del Rio's defense. Now, Del Rio's defense has not changed. The players have changed, but the scheme and the way he plays hasn't changed. And so Sean did a very good job. They threw the ball. They had a hard time running. I think Denver will have a hard time running the ball on Washington today, but they threw the ball effectively. Kamara was the leading receiver. A lot of short throws to the backs. Kind of did a very good job on third down. And then you look at the opening game that season in 21. Joe Lombardi, now the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos, was at the Chargers as the coordinator, and they also threw the ball very effectively, but they didn't run it well. So I think from that standpoint, Denver has a very good understanding of what Del Rio will do to start the game, what he'll adjust to, and how he'll play. Now, can they defeat the talent? That's a whole separate issue. Offensively, we know Vance Joseph opened up the season last year as the Arizona defensive coordinator against the Kansas City Chiefs, led by Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator of the Commanders. That game with Patrick Mahomes makes it difficult to really evaluate, do they have a handle on it? But when you watch the tape, Joseph had some really good ideas against him. He just couldn't, the talent level let him down. I think it'll be a different story for Sam Howell today. Going into Denver, Mile High Stadium, that crowd last week, listening to it was really loud. Garoppolo did a wonderful job of handling the crowd noise. Very little false starts, and they were able to kind of stay ahead of the down and distance, which they needed to do. This is a big game for Sam Howell to go on the road. And here's my consensus of the game. I just don't like bad offensive lines to travel. I just don't feel like they play well when they go on the road. So bad lines don't travel. Washington, bad line. I think Sean knows this is a really important game. Goes to Miami next week. They've got to get the ball down the field a little bit. Judy's back for them, which I think certainly will help them at the wide receiver, give them some explosiveness. So that's why I've targeted this game. This is one of the games that I like. I like Denver in the 3.5. Now, the other thing I like about it is it's a low ticket count for Denver, high money.
Yeah. At the point that you brought up with Jerry Jeudy coming back, I think is a really important one because maybe we'll see a little bit more downfield passing from Russell Wilson in that Denver offense there on the Commander side.
If they protect, that's where it starts. And I think Sean's smart enough to know, you know, I know Chase Young's back, all that stuff, but you got to protect inside out against Washington because those two tackles create most of the problem.
And this also is Sam Howell's first ever road start. I mean, I think because like he's not a rookie quarterback, so we don't think about it in that lens. But last year, he started week 18 at home against Dallas. And of course, last Sunday was week one against the Arizona Cardinals. So first road start in the Rocky Mountains at elevation, that crowd noise, that offensive line. It's probably not a good recipe there for the Washington Commanders. To be fully transparent, I actually made a small bet on the Commanders when this line opened on the money line, just kind of trying to get ahead of the potential of Jeudy not playing in this game. So this is not a bet that made my contest card. This is not a bet that I made like a full unit size bet, but I put a little bit of money on the Commanders if Jeudy did not play, but Judy's playing. So sometimes, hey, you try to get ahead of news and the news go ahead and bites you in the back. Jeudy in the starting lineup here for the Denver Broncos. But I think Denver wins.
You know, it's not over. It's not over for you, but you know, I mean, look, they're going to have to play well. Washington's a good team. And Washington will get this game will be close going to the fourth quarter, just like the Raider game was. And you've got to be able to execute. I mean, they had an opportunity in the Raider game. Now, Will Lutz is a problem. Can he bounce back? And that's going to be a key because Sean made that decision to go with Will Lutz because he knows him. It's going to be a key decision for him in terms of the kicking game. And look, Washington's got to be able to operate in the fourth quarter, and they can't turn the ball over. They have to play way different than they did against the Arizona Cardinals. But they have to be able to protect too. I mean, Randy Gregory's got to be able to show force coming off the edge. I think that's going to be really key.
Yeah, and once again, no Frank Clark here for the Denver Broncos on that pass rush. So they'll need a big game from Randy Gregory and the rest of the crew there.
I don't know if that really hurts you. I mean, sometimes, you know, we make so much of, well, Frank Clark didn't play well last week, jumped off sides, kind of ran past the quarterback. I think they can replace. They need Gregory to take that to look like he did when he was in Dallas and take a step up.
The defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, 0-1. It's been a while since we've seen them. Of course, they played opening night last Thursday, losing to the Detroit Lions. Now they are 3-point favorites on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that most people think can go ahead and take that next step forward from good to great. Good news on the Kansas City front is that Chris Jones will be back in this game, although at a limited basis. Sounds like it's 20 to 30 plays, key plays, passing down situations. And then, of course, they welcome back Travis Kelce, the all-world tight end here. Do you think this is a spot for Kansas City to go ahead and bounce back and get to 1-1, or could they be in trouble? And we'd be talking about on Monday that the defending world champions are 0-2.
I think the only game Andy Reid's lost in Florida since he's been the chief coach at 0-13 was the Super Bowl in Tampa. I think that's the only one. And I think that's got, you know, I mean, he understands. Now, we don't talk enough about this, but Andy Reid said 10 days to get ready for this game. Mm-hmm. He said 10 days to get ready. He also has Kelce back. Now, I watched Kelce move around. I'm not a doctor, but I didn't think he was moving very good. You know, I didn't think he was moving good, but his presence on the field will be very good. And that allows then the receivers that really played poorly last week maybe to have a better game, which they're going to need, because the focus will be on Kelce. And they've got to be able to run the football. I think when you watch this game, Edwards-Helaire is going to miss with an injury, but he just doesn't do enough in terms of when he was in the game, of seeing the game, instinctively running. So with McKinnon and Pacheco, I think they'll be fine there. And look, last week, you can't argue with what they did defensively. This is going to be a tough challenge, though. Three receivers for Jacksonville are tough. Calvin Ridley's going to be really tough to handle. This game's going to be about, can they put pressure on an offensive line that can struggle at times, and can they get Trevor Lawrence to turn this ball over? That's going to be the key. We know Mahomes is going to be careful. Sometimes Trevor's not. It'll be a great atmosphere in Jacksonville, but Andy plays well with the break. I like Kansas City here only because I think of Reed having the right ideas for what he wants to do to attack the Mike Caldwell offense, defense.
Yeah, no, I laid Kansas City at open when this was 2.5. And I actually went ahead and got some Jacksonville at +3.5. So we're looking to middle this thing, Michael. We're trying to go ahead and hope that it lands Chiefs 3.
I'm going to have to explain to Dominic what the hell middle is. Now that's got another problem I got. Yeah. You just keep adding these problems up for me, Femi. I got to explain what middle is. You know, explain to our listening audience what middle is, you think you can double dip.
So we're hoping the middle, because obviously 3 being the most key number in NFL betting, that is the margin of victory that is most frequent in NFL games. So when you lay 2.5, obviously Chiefs win by 3, you win the bet. And if you take +3.5, which this number was earlier in the week with Jacksonville, and if the Chiefs win by 3, you win Jacksonville +3.5 as well. So we're trying to middle on the most key number in NFL betting. Will it hit? I don't know. You need a lot to go ahead and middle, and it's a specific scenario kind of threading the needle here. But if it does hit, it's jackpot, baby. Let's go. So we're going to go ahead and middle and arbitrage this game. That's what we're doing. At the current number of 3, honestly, it's a pass. Like, I didn't play this in the contest at Chiefs -3. I think that number is probably just right. I think the Chiefs win this game, but hopefully the Chiefs win this game by 3 points. That's what we're hoping for. So Dominic can explain arbitrage betting by the time he gets to fourth grade.
We're not middling over there. We're not betting anyway. We're definitely not middling.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take it one step at a time. How about we'll get this game real quick here, and then maybe we can carry this over into hour number 2 if we need to. Bears at the Buccaneers right now. Tampa's a 2.5-point favorite. Total 40. Anything for you in this game here? I know Baker Mayfield coming off the big win last week in Minneapolis.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think the biggest concern here, if you want to play this game, and there's a lot of people that like Chicago in this game. Now, Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator, has had to take a personal issue. He's not going to play the game. Eberflus will call the game here. But both Cody Whitehair and Nate Davis are out for the game. They're going to start 2 new guards in there, according to what I read this morning coming out of Chicago. So I think that's going to be a real issue. I think that's a problem because let's face it, the strength of the Bucs, the reason they're able to play good was their defense made plays. And I think ultimately that's going to be the key to this game. And Baker Mayfield can't hurt them. He's got to be able to. And it's a game that, you know, with Eberflus calling the game, it's not going to be a complex game because it's never a complex game. So they got to be able to protect up front. That's the key to beating Chicago. Don't turn this ball over and protect up front. And that could give you a chance, especially if Chicago's offensive line is struggling.
Yeah, I think this is one of those classic games. So whoever wins the turnover battle is going to win the game. I think that's what we're looking at here between the Buccaneers and the Bears. All right, we'll continue our week 2 NFL breakdown on the other side to start hour number 2 here on the Lombardi Line.